I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, and archived on TVTimeMachine.com.
Oh, buzz off. I can buy and sell you.
Oh, you're so smart. You got in on Pioneer Aviation.
I don't know anything about Pioneer Aviation. I never saw that letter.
Read this, Trent. It's to a stockbroker. Buy immediately all shares possible of Pioneer Aviation.
What's so funny?
There is no Pioneer Aviation. I made it up.
Why?
To help you look foolish.
We're back again with investment strategist, actor, and businessman Wayne Rogers, author of the book Make Your Own Rules, A Renegade Guide to Unconventional Success, right here on the TV Time Machine. Now, Wayne, we were talking about your book before. Who should be reading your book, and why?
They asked me about the publishers said they do how-to books, and I said I can't write a how-to book. I can't write how you become a millionaire overnight, or how to, you know, win in the stock market. I'm not smart enough to tell other people how to run their business. I just can't. I don't know how to do that. And I don't have any great rules and secret answers to, you know. I can write about what I've done and use that, and they said, well, then fine, do that. And this started out because I wanted to write a book about the banking crisis in the recent recession. And I testified twice before the House Banking Committee, so it was something I was interested in and something that I had some familiarity with. And I wanted to write, and they said, well, we don't think that'll sell, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, I understand. But they said, if you can work in a chapter on that, we'll do that, if you'll write this up. So that's how it came about. And so this book is really an odyssey of my personal business experiences, and they're all entrepreneurial, all small business as opposed to big, or that we talked about earlier. And it's a creative process that you go through when you're an entrepreneur. So this is really about entrepreneurship, and people who read it, if they get something out of it, God love them. As I say in the opening, if that works for you, fine. Take from it what you will. If it doesn't, give it to somebody else, or sell it on the internet, or if push comes to shove, there's always the trash can. You can throw it away.
One of the things that intrigued me in your book was when you advocate an innovative approach to rather staid business practices and conventions. But sometimes there are times when it's best not to try to reinvent the wheel. So how do you know when to shake things up and when to just leave things be?
Well, I don't think you ever necessarily try to reinvent the wheel. I would not be in favor of that. Mm-hmm. I would be in favor of saying you can. There's a new way to do this by combining three or four wheels, or the wheel will work going this way as well as that way, so that the wheel can help you going backwards as well as forwards, or left or right, or whatever it may be. So it's saying we can take conventional things, but do them differently, see them in a different light, see that they can do things separately. You know, it's an interesting, there's psychological tests where they show people certain patterns, and they ask people, what do you see in that pattern? Mm-hmm. And it tells you a lot about an inventive mind or a creative mind, in the sense that some people see things that are not conventional at all. Other people see the conventional thing. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a question of looking at something in a different way as opposed to reinventing it. Entrepreneurship is really founded in homework, doing a lot of homework and taking all of that work that you do to learn about something and translating that into a better way.
Now, in reading your book, also what struck me was really your common sense. It's really a common sense book, which to me seems to be the fuel for much of your success. Why do you think common sense is so lacking in many areas of business and especially our government?
Well, I think because those are administrative jobs primarily. They're not supposed to be creative jobs. I mean, you don't want, if you're running the government, I presume you don't want people to, you know, get out of their area of expertise. You don't want the Treasury Department to be doing what the Agriculture Department is doing or what the Defense Department is doing. So that they're administrative jobs. They're not supposed to think out of the box. They're not supposed to think creatively. They're not supposed to. They have a budget. They have to live within the budget. They live within the guidelines. They live within the regulations. Everything there is run by regulatory groups, and the regulatory groups think in a regulatory fashion. The entrepreneur, that's an enemy of the entrepreneur. That's an enemy of the entrepreneurial thinking. That's the enemy of creative thinking. So as an entrepreneur, you can't think that way. You've got to think out of the box. You've got to think beyond what is required. You've got to think around the regulations. You've got to think all of the things that there have got to be better ways to do it, more efficient. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for both efficiency and imagination.
Wayne, we're coming to the end of our program. As you consider your accomplishments and the success that you have achieved over the years, both personally and professionally, what are your thoughts?
Oh, boy. Well, as I said earlier, I'm just afraid I'm not going to live long enough to learn all the things I want to learn. I read a lot, and the more I read, the more I want to read. So that's what I'm mostly terrified about. Alan and I, Alda and I, share an interest in what goes on at the far reaches of the universe and the subatomic world. Neither one of us were physicists in college and studied the cosmology of physics, and but we share an interest in that, and are constantly reading about things like Brian Greene, who's probably our leading cosmologist, who's a professor at Columbia, and also in other areas that fascinate me. I mentioned it in the book briefly. I talk about how in Proto-Man, as a part of what led to what we think of as the free market economy, used to organize in order for survival. Men, you know, went together to hunt. We were hunter-gatherers when 400,000 years ago, and we had to. The animals were much bigger than we were, so we had to band together to kill the mastodon, as it were. And out of that, we had to cooperate with each other. That bred reciprocal cooperation, which bred the word trust. And eventually, we had to carve up the meat and share it. That trust became genetically part of us. I say that there's a guy at Claremont College out there in California by the name of Paul Zak, who is a professor of neuroeconomics. That's a whole area, and there's a rich bibliography of how people cooperated and how this became a neurotransmitter called oxytocin. So we are genetically wired to have a propensity to trust our fellow man. And that's all part of this. And those areas of exploration intellectually are fascinating to me. So I'm constantly reading about that. I'm just worried I'm not going to live long enough.
Well, hopefully people out there are genetically wired to buy your book.
I hope so, too.
Which is Make Your Own Rules, A Renegade Guide to Unconventional Success, which is available in all normal outlets, Amazon.com and the like. Wayne, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Wayne, very much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Jim Benson. Join us again next time as our magical transport takes us on yet another journey exploring television's past, present, and future. You'll find your next adventure right here on the TV Time Machine.